Vectis Radio, FM 104.6, your station, your community.
You're listening to Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. My name is Phil Norris and I'm here with Ross Backshall.
You are.
On the afternoon show. And we have a lovely, lovely lady in the studio with us. Her name is Holly. Hello, Holly.
Hello.
So you are a person who studies history.
I am, yes.
Aren't you? But you're not called a historian, are you?
No, I've not done enough history studying to be a official historian. I just kind of dabble in history, mostly.
Okay. How long have you been studying history?
I've been studying for about... Well, I started properly studying at university about 16 years ago.
Yep.
And I did an undergrad degree in sort of medieval history, mostly.
Ooh,
Anglo-Saxon medieval history, a lot of social history. But before that, I've been interested in history since I was back in primary school with all the horrible history books and going to old houses, and you'd be given sort of like 2p if you managed to find things in
that
house.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my parents were quite...
I used to get that for a tooth.
Oh, did you? But they'd be like, oh, the first person to find an elephant in this room gets 2p. So it made you quite competitive about history, finding stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So I think that sort of helped. But yeah, I did it at university and then I worked in museums as a museum education officer.
Yeah.
And I did that for 5 years. And then I started self-employment doing hands-on history.
Yeah.
And through that, I started sort of like storytelling, looking into folklore and getting more interested once I moved back to the Isle of Wight in local history as well. So I've been going quite a while.
And I first met you when... down at Ventnor when we did the Unexplained Island, didn't
yes.
we?
Yes.
With Ian Dickens and Rowena Amos and Hannah.
Yes.
So that's where I first met you. And your fingers in all sorts of pies here, haven't you? You've got...
Yeah.
you have a thing about lifeboats. You like lifeboat history.
Yes. Yeah. All the stuff along the south coast of the island.
Yeah.
A little bit of the north, but I grew up in Bryston.
Okay.
And there was a little bit growing up, sort of like you'd learn about the lifeboats, and there was a man called Moses Munt who went out on one of the earliest lifeboats, and he sadly died in a rescue attempt, and he's buried in the churchyard at Bryston, and
okay.
he's got quite a prominent grave. So every time when we were kids and you're walking up the churchyard, you'd see his gravestone. And that sort of like sparked a bit of an interest in why he gave up his life in the lifeboats and what it would be like.
Yeah.
And there's sort of like little scratches in houses that were called like smugglers' carvings and things like that. So I sort of grew up with an interest in it from childhood, really.
So we have somebody else famous quite close to that, don't we? Mrs. Havisham.
Yes.
from the Charles Dickens, which book is it? Is it
Great Expectations?
Great Expectations. Yeah. So the character that he based Mrs. Havisham on used to live in Bonchurch.
Yeah.
And the real Mrs. Havisham, who got jilted at the altar, I believe, didn't she?
Yes.
She's buried where? Ventnor somewhere.
Yeah, it's around Ventnor. It's one of the Ventnor graveyards because they went to go see it in an Unexplained Island, didn't
That's
they?
Right. That's
yeah.
right. That's right. So what
Which
about,
is very amazing.
Have you got any smugglers' stories? Because the island is full of smugglers down at Black Gang Chine, isn't it?
Yeah, I think a lot of them come from, well, Knighton. I think one visitor to Knighton said that basically every man, woman and child was involved in smuggling.
Wow.
So the men would go and do the actual smuggling. The women would sort of like watch out. The kids would sort of like run messages and stuff.
Yeah.
So everybody was involved. And I saw a really good story that was recorded about a group of smugglers who were going up the road in Knighton.
Yep.
And they got wind that the revenue men, the people who were looking for smugglers, were around. And so they went into the churchyard, and there's an empty tomb in the churchyard of a sailor who drowned. So they just put up an empty, you know, those
like
flat,
an unmarked grave thing.
Yeah, but it's like one of the raised flat ones. I forget what they're called.
Okay.
And they hid in there. And they can hear, like, the revenue men looking around for them.
They hid in there in the tomb?
Yeah. It had, like, a slab on top. You know the ones I mean?
Yeah.
So they sort of, like, move that, hid in there. And they can hear the revenue men sort of, like, going round searching for them. A light had been put up in the cottage, which is how they knew that the revenue men were there. So they hid there, could hear them searching, could hear them calling, could hear them searching in the bushes for anything that had been, like, abandoned or dumped or anybody hiding. And then the revenue men went away. And they're still hiding there. All through for a few more hours, just in case.
Yeah.
And it gets to the point where the sun's starting to get up and they think now's probably a safe time to go. It's been a few hours since we last heard anything. We can sneak out. And so they lifted up the stone.
I didn't see that.
They lifted up the stone slab of the grave and they moved it. And it was at that point that the sexton who lived up the road was coming down to open the church. And so it was sort of like quite a dim morning. He was quite tired, cold morning, walking down the church, about to unlock it. And he saw this grave open and people walk out. And he started screaming and saying,
"Ross looks really scared."
And saying, "Oh, the dead are upon us. It's judgment day. The dead are rising."
Yeah.
Because... especially back then, from the medieval time till now, they used to think that the dead would actually come back in their bodies after they died.
Okay. Yep.
So the dead coming back means it's judgment day. Ran into town, was telling everybody, and it was just the smugglers, and they had to give him some of the smuggled rum to calm him down.
What a great story.
So I think that's one of my favourite stories, that just because like, you can put yourself in both situations.
Yeah,
there, really,
that must have been like Michael Jackson's Thriller video, all these bodies coming out.
Yeah.
Dun, dun.
You just think you're sort of like weary, going to start work, 6 a.m. and then there's sort of like you see zombies come.
Wow.
But yeah.
So you do storytelling as well, don't you?
I do, yes, yeah.
Where do you do that?
I do it in a few different places. So I'm part of a group called the Island Storytellers. We're just a casual group who meet up once a month and just share stories. And that's quite interesting because there's lots of like funny ones that people have heard that they bring along. I'm part of a group called Tis Tales. Tis Tales.
Okay.
Short for the Island Storytellers.
Tis. Okay, yeah, yeah.
And we do things at Ventnor Fringe. We're at... Medina Bookshop on the 29th of February.
Medina Bookshop in Cowes.
In Cowes.
Where Paul works.
Where Paul works. He's kindly hosting us. So we're doing a show there on the Leap Day day of storytelling.
Okay.
In February.
If you send that across to me, I'll stick that on the events.
Oh, thank
you. On the Vectus Radio thing.
And I've been part of a group called Somewhen as well. And we've... organised a storytelling festival that was at the beginning of the year, and we organise our own events and bring storytellers down as well. So, and I just do random events and things doing storytelling too.
Lovely. So, yes. Storytelling is not very popular now, is it? It used to be. I'm working with Ian Dickens, as you know, the great great grandson of Mr. Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
And he was telling me that Charles Dickens had all the kids sitting around him and he told them the Scrooge story and they told their kids and they told their kids. And eventually it got down to Ian Dickens and his dad did exactly the same thing. Storytelling.
Yeah.
So it's much better to do storytelling than all these Netflix and games and things like that, isn't it? Keeping these stories alive.
Yeah, I think it's really important. Like, it's a really important skill for children, just for listening and speaking anyway.
Yeah.
And I think just... quite often, if you're reading from a book, there's that kind of barrier in front of you, isn't there? Because you're saying, oh, he got his children round and he told them the story. And that, it's oral storytelling. It's been going on for millions of years. It's one of the oldest arts.
Putting on voices. And
And I think so many people struggle with reading. We either don't have time for it or we just find it difficult or the way the author writes is very difficult. But really, we tell stories to each other all day, don't we?
Yeah.
Like you were telling me about things you've been doing. That's storytelling.
Yeah. You're storytelling later, aren't you, Mr. Ross?
Oh, yes.
Yes, you've got a story for us. Yep.
So we're always sharing stories. And it is, I think, a fundamental part of being human, sharing stories. And I think it's a real shame that there's a lot of emphasis put on literacy, which is right, literacy is good, but there's not as much emphasis put on being able to tell a story.
Yeah.
And I think that's such a shame, because what you're doing on the radio is many of the same skills, presenting at work is many of the same skills.
Trying to create a picture with words. I remember in the film, was it You've Got Mail? I think it was the Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Yes, and she was the storyteller in the bookshop, wasn't she?
I've not seen it, I'm afraid. I don't watch many films.
It's one of the best rom-coms there is. You've Got Mail, Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
Oh, okay.
She owns this little quirky little bookshop and he owns like Fox Books, which is this mega thing, okay? And they're trying to buy her out and she's the storyteller and all the kids come and see her. And it's brilliant film.
I need
film.
To see that. That sounds really good.
You need to see that.
Ooh, I might watch that this evening.
How can people... Do you have like a website? with these organisations? How can people get in touch with you and follow what's going on? And
Yeah, there's the Island Storytellers Facebook, Somwhen Facebook, and Tis Tales Facebook. And we also have a website called Tis Tales.
Okay.
If you Google it, it should come up.
Okay.
Where we sort of share all the events that are coming up, everything that we're doing. We've got a couple of storytellers down in the next couple of months. We've got, yeah, different events, and we're just talking about maybe putting in for another grant application so we can put on even more next year to try and promote storytelling on the island.
Because I was telling you about the thing that I'm working on at the moment with Ian, and I'm not going to say, it's a secret.
Oh, super secret.
Super secret. But that's a long storytelling. That's going to be good. So we're going to have to finish now. But can you tell us some a little local folklore, just to like dangle a carrot in front of our eyes?
Most of the local folklore I know is like historical.
Okay.
So it's sort of like story based.
Yeah.
So I can't really think of anything without giving you a story. But I will be doing some storytelling things about local folklore very soon.
When are you doing that?
I've not got any definite dates.
Okay.
But I'll hopefully be doing some local folklore and smuggling tales at Ventnor Fringe.
Lovely. Send them through to me and then we'll put them on the website and get as many people as we can.
That's great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Holly, it's lovely to see you.
Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're very busy. But thank you for what you do. From all the people on the Isle of Wight, for carrying these stories forward and letting them go into the future, because otherwise the past will be forgotten. So you're doing a tremendous thing.
Well, thank you so much. That's really kind. And thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You're most welcome.
Vectis Radio, FM 104.6. For the people, by the people.